Sorry.
Okay. So now we're being recorded. So just to go back, so the request, El Salvador made an announcement that its women should stop getting pregnant until 2018 or try to avoid that. You can imagine the criticism it's received from organizations like us and women's rights groups for the solution, particularly when sexual violence and lack of access to contraception and health information are factors, right? So, and the UN has also taken a stance on this, and they're calling on Latin American countries hit by the epidemic to allow women access to abortion and birth control. And so just the reason I bring this up is because I think this development, we've been calling out El Salvador's draconian stance on women's sexual and reproductive rights for some time, and now there's a lot of momentum out there in the media to really affect change and to really push for our actions, encouraging El Salvador to make changes to its laws on March 8th. So I just wanted to give everyone that background. And so now I'm going to tell you how you can get involved on and before March 8th, and even how you can get involved afterwards. So we have an online petition, an action. It's called Tell El Salvador Miscarriage is Not a Crime. And it will be one of the links that you'll be able to go to in the link that Alice mentioned, and we'll mention it again throughout this conversation. I think Caitlin will mention it next. So in the link you provide, you can access that petition. It's really easy. You just type in your name, your email, where you're from, you click, and that petition is going to go to the Minister of Justice in El Salvador. And on that petition, you can see more information about particular women's cases we're working with. And then just finally, I wanted to leave you with some resources. So you can delve as much into this information as you want. If you are a local group, a student group, and you're interested in getting some kind of quick facts about El Salvador, we have this great news release from 2014 and a press release from 2014 and a press release from 2015. And they just have really good, concise facts with a really big impact. And one is called 12 Facts About the Abortion Ban in El Salvador. That's an Amnesty resource. Another is called El Salvador's Total Ban on Abortion, the Facts, and that's another resource. We have so much information. I don't want to, There's so much information, so I don't want to bog you down with all these reports because you can find their links, but I'll just briefly mention that there's another report called On the Brink of Death, and that's about violence against women and abortion in El Salvador. And also, of course, I mentioned that report earlier that is on obstetric emergencies, women who suffer miscarriages and then they're facing time in prison. That's called Separated Families, Broken Ties. So these are all great resources, whether you want to just kind of get some quick facts or you really want to go in depth into a report and learn more about this situation. And then I just want to say more generally for those who have interest in the Americas and in sexual and reproductive rights in the Americas. We just had a report released in December on sexual and reproductive rights defenders in the Americas and what sort of situations they face in their countries for defending these rights. And we also have a report coming out in the coming month in March that's going to be on sexual and reproductive rights in general. It's going to be a long report on the Americas. So you have so many resources to look for. So that's it. And I guess I'll open up to questions again.
Anyone have questions about the work or, you know, how it can apply to your work out there with groups? Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. And now we can move on. Caitlin has some information on other work that we will be focusing on in March. Caitlin, can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everyone. First, I want to reiterate and say thank you so much for joining this call. This is a really great opportunity, and thank you, Ed, for organizing all of this and for Cynthia, just to connect with everyone that I don't get to meet until the conferences and to have a discussion around some of AIUSA's work, especially around women's human rights work. So my name is Caitlin, and I work in the DC office as the women's rights campaigner. I work closely with the Women's Human Rights Co-Group with Alice and Christina. So I was asked to talk a little bit about our advocacy work around early and forced child marriage in Burkina Faso. So many of you might already be aware of the advocacy efforts that we've done around Burkina Faso, and many of you might be more familiar with our advocacy around reducing the barriers women and girls face in terms of accessing contraception, accessing family planning and healthcare services, and information. So before I get into details around some of this work, I'd like to preface that this is part of Amnesty's global My Body, My Rights campaigning, so including El Salvador and including Burkina Faso and some other countries that we focus on. And we as AIUSA really work to support the advocacy and organizing that AI Burkina Faso team is doing. So the team in Burkina is a small group, but really, really dedicated advocates that do some incredible work across the country in sometimes very difficult and sometimes very dangerous situations. So in supporting their work, we were focusing on raising awareness about the barriers women and girls face in accessing their sexual and reproductive rights, for example, access to contraception. This part of our advocacy will come to a close on February 29th, so very soon. And I have a quick shameless plug about this. If you haven't signed this petition, you can find it online at amnestyusa.org/MBMR/MyBodyMyRights, you can spell it out too, under the Get Involved section. We only have a few days to do the final push for this petition, and we could really use as many signatures as possible before it's delivered to the government of Burkina Faso. So with the close of this portion of our Burkina Faso advocacy, Amnesty is turning its attention towards the prevalence of early and forced child marriage. And just to quickly define child marriage, it is the formal marriage or informal union before age 18. And the practice of early and forced marriage happens to both young girls and boys, but it disproportionately affects girls. Early and forced marriage, child marriage, is widespread and a persistent problem that impacts approximately 15 million girls every year, or another way of putting it, 28 girls every minute. The impacts of child marriage touch every aspect of a child's life. Girls who marry early have little or no access to education, which directly impacts their economic opportunities later in life and the economic situation of the family. Child brides also face a higher risk of experiencing dangerous and life-threatening complications in pregnancy, contracting HIV, and suffering domestic and sexual violence at the hands of their intimate partners. So specifically in terms of Burkina Faso, Burkina Faso is among the top 10, and I know that sounds like it's going to be a good thing, but it's not, top 10 in the world with the highest rates of child marriage. 1 in 2 girls will be married before they turn 18, and 1 in 6 will be married before 15. It's often, the practice of child marriage is often linked to poverty, tradition, social attitudes, or lack of information and education. So a lot of those are connected, of course. Child marriage is illegal in Burkina Faso, and the government has made a number of really important steps in combating it. So actually in 2015, very recently, the government adopted a national strategy and a plan of action to prevent and end child marriage. And they launched the African Union campaign to end child marriage in Africa. And they've also been very responsive to Amnesty Burkina Faso and other sections that have been engaged in this work. They signed on to AI Burkina Faso's Human Rights Election Manifesto, and they've been willing to sort of hold meetings with Amnesty Burkina Faso and have agreed to a lot of the recommendations that we've made. So these are all very promising and crucial actions, right? However, and there's always a however, despite all of this, the government of Burkina Faso has not been enforcing its own laws and promises around ending child marriage. So I guess after I've thrown all of that information at you, you might be thinking, well, what are we doing then? You know, what's the involvement in all of this? So AI Burkina and AIUSA and other global sections are urging the government of Burkina Faso to strengthen and enforce existing laws banning early and forced child marriage. And we contribute to this work in a number of ways. We helped promote out the petition that you might have seen during Amnesty's Right for Rights, asking the government to enforce the law, to guarantee protection as well as shelter and support services for victims of early and forced marriages, and to raise awareness in the population about the ban on forced marriage, and also about where girls can find assistance if they are at risk. So these are important recommendations. And we also meet, you know, I'm located in the DC office and we have people in the New York office, and we meet with, this is sort of more of our high-level advocacy efforts, but we meet with U.S. government officials and Burkina Faso embassy staff to talk about Amnesty's concerns and Amnesty's recommendations. And we'll be doing a lot more advocacy around Burkina Faso and ending early and forced child marriage after April. So this is when Amnesty will release a report and a film that will highlight barriers to access for some of our former advocacy that we've been doing, but it will also heavily focus on the prevalence of child marriage. So stay tuned for that. That should be happening, fingers crossed, around April 25th. So stay tuned, and we'll be getting in touch again about all of this stuff. So again, I think I'll mention the link that Alice mentioned before and Christina mentioned, that you can look up what we've compiled for March 8th, and that is amnestyusa.org/March8, so the number 8. And you'll find a bunch of links to these petitions that we're talking about, and you'll also find some ideas for action that Cynthia Naval will be talking about after I'm finished. So I am finished, and I think I'll open it up to some questions or thoughts or anything else.
Anybody out there have questions? Some reactions to what she has presented? Anyone?
This is Azam again, and I'm on the internet typing amnestyusa.org/March8. I do not see the Amnesty USA or the petition that you are mentioning.
So it should be linked. So it says, I don't know if you're on the, it's a PDF, but it is online, and it says Fight to End Child Marriage, and you can take action online. And then there's a link to download the petition from our Spring 2016 toolkit as well. That link should work. I've tried it a couple times. Otherwise, we can also send this out if there's a way to do that, with everyone that's been on the call.
Okay, so someone, there we go.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Figure out what number that is. All right.
Hold, please.
Someone's dialing AOL.
In follow-up of what you suggested, I think it's a good idea if you just send all these links as you have checked to all
sure.
of us who have received the information about tonight's meeting so that
sure.
you can directly have the okay. same information to pull from.
Yeah, I think, we can definitely put that together for everybody, and we can send that out in a couple days.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Kristen, I'm wondering if you'd like to say a few words about the toolkit. There is quite a bit in there to do. There's even a page of listed of possible activities, and also printable copies of the petitions and things.
Yeah, so I briefly just mentioned it, but we recently came out with a My Body, My Rights toolkit. So we have two. One was made in fall 2015, and then we had a new one that we designed in spring 2016. And it has a bunch of actions on Let's see, it's Ireland, Tunisia, and Burkina Faso. So it includes all the petitions. It also includes a lot of background information, facts and figures, ideas for action, and then a way to get in touch with me specifically. So I'll also include a link to that in the email that we send out.
So Caitlin, you might also want to mention to anybody that, who is out there, who is a member of a group, that if they need, you know, specific information or, you know, materials for the My Body, My Rights campaign and the current actions, that they can contact you.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm sorry, I forgot. Yes, anybody can always reach out to me. I try to be very responsive to emails. So we have a lot of one pages. We can send you the petitions. We can also send you to your address some buttons and stickers. And I'm here to provide any kind of support that you need if you're trying to host an event in coordination with your field organizers. So I'm always happy to help.
This is Cherry Rodello in Portland, Oregon, Group 48. Mm-hmm. We don't have a field organizer, so therefore we haven't had one for over about a year and a half. So I was wondering how you go about alerting groups who may not have a complete staff to support them. Is there going to be a special place on the AIUSA website? I know I'm part of the women's thematic group, so I get emails, but I'm just thinking in terms of people who maybe don't know of other options. How do you make them aware? What if they don't go to the AGM, don't go to the regional conference, and don't have a field organizer?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, and I actually want to sort of defer to Cynthia on that, since she's on the call, in terms of how we can coordinate better when there is no field organizer present.
Hi, this is Cynthia. I'm a field organizer, senior field organizer in the Northeast. Will Butkus is the covering Oregon. So he would be the person. Yeah. So he would be the person to contact. This is a newly assigned state for him, and I know he's planning a trip up there. But anyways, I can provide you with his email, or you may already have it.
No, I have that. But this is the communication with him. He always points out first how busy he is. So it's. I was just thinking something more in terms of where it would be easy to get to, like the website, or that maybe there's a monthly mailing, or the ARC's an obvious place, but I was just wondering so that people would know about it without having, you know, to then maybe ask, where they might not even know, if they don't know about it, they wouldn't even know to ask about it.
This is Christina from the co-group, Women's Human Rights co-group. I'm happy to act as a resource if I can be of help in any way, because I'm actually meeting with William tomorrow, because I'm sort of in your region. So if you can reach out to me for any women's rights related issue, I'm happy to help you with that. Tomorrow I'm going to speak actually with Will, because he's in Oakland as well.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in Portland, Oregon. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can't be there in person, but in terms of emails or any questions about accessing anything, I'd be very happy to help.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Terry, that's a good idea to put it on the ARC. I would say, too, the list for field organizers is in each of the toolkits that's listed on the homepage. So just, you know, as a quick reference, that has been most recently updated because we did add a field organizer in the West.
This is Azam again. I have signed in several times for ARC, and each time it doesn't recognize me.
All right. This is
Terry, you can take that.
Okay. I'm part of the ARC support team, so things like logins. What I would recommend you do is go to the home screen and then ask, there's a link down there that says, do you need help? And then I would just, send your email, say what the problem is, and then we'll get back to you.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So is there anybody else? Another comments?
I have a question, clarification. You said that the toolkits are on the home page. The home page of
on
what?
On ARC.
Thank you. That's what I thought that I wanted to make sure.
Okay, so I think at this point we can move along. So we have the other part of our agenda tonight, and that's focusing on groups' work around the AI actions. And I will hand this over to Naval Vasif.
Hi, everyone. I'm Naval. I'm an SSC in Boston. I'm currently in high school, and I'm a senior, and I'm working on International Women's Day at my high school. So I just want to put out there, what are the main focuses we want to plan on doing when we're doing these actions at our schools, at our local groups, at our campuses. So the first thing you want to keep in mind is that we want to educate people on the issue, and that's probably the best thing we can do, because first we have to bring the awareness to actually have people interested in the idea of what we want to pass, especially on International Women's Day, since it's been such a long-term thing since the early 1900s, as Christina said earlier on in the talk. Second, we want to engage people in our actions. And third, we want to increase the level of participation to make a difference. And that can also mean increasing the amnesty membership we want in our groups. So I made up a lot of creative ideas on how we can actually have International Women's Day for local groups and school communities. So hopefully everybody's a part of this. I want to talk first about what I've been doing at my school. So we have March 10 booked out for International Women's Day. And we have speakers coming in from local groups. Like we have, I'm from Boston, so we have groups on harassment that work to help women recover and such. So we'll have things like that happen. So definitely, if you guys want to plan an International Women's Day event at your school or your local group, you should definitely reach out to the communities and organizations that can help you out, the coalition groups. Definitely reach out to Caitlin, because I emailed her so many times, and she can definitely help you out with be a speaker for FGM, Burkina Faso, as she talked about earlier. Also, I think the best way to have amnesty members be from DC and from the Pacific side to actually be a part of International Women's Day at your event is to definitely have a Skype-in presentation. You don't actually need people to come into your school or your local group to actually present something. So definitely Skype is something that's happening a lot these days, and having a presentation through Skype would be really great. Also for this day, you can have Caitlin send in petitions and letters. Also the My Body, My Rights and the International Women's Day toolkits have petitions and letters that people can sign or they can write themselves. There's also a bunch of workshops on this. So there's toolkits. The toolkits have workshops, and if you've been to the regional conferences for your areas, you've probably joined the My Body, My Rights section of the regional conference. You probably took part in those toolkit workshops. So that's my first creative idea. So I guess if you guys want to ask questions on that, or if you're interested on the site, having International Women's Day at your school or your local group, then we can definitely talk about this now. All right. Also, for local groups, if you want to have International Women's Day, a whole full day event on different sections, then you can definitely look into your city hall and maybe have a communal area that you can have for the day, or you can have the library or something. So I don't think this is only focused on high schools or college campuses. This is definitely for everybody to try out. And it's very time consuming, so I can definitely help you out, because I just finally finished my schedule for this event. The second idea I have is, have a film showing at your local group or your school and advertise it. So maybe have a pizza night where you order pizza and you have your group members come in to just watch a movie about women's rights or current topics in the women's movement. So you can definitely look into Netflix, because Netflix has a bunch of documentaries on women's rights. An example would be Misrepresentation, which is a documentary about media. And there's another movie called Hot Girls Wanted, which is also a documentary, I think. So definitely, if you can have them watch a movie, eat pizza, and afterwards lead a discussion, and that would be a great way for people to be educated on the issues, and definitely it'd be more better for people to engage like that. And then they'll sign petitions and want to know more about amnesty and the issue going on, especially since March is very big on International Women's Day. Another idea I have is to probably have a skit or connect with the local drama club or drama team in your community. A really good way to have people interested in an issue is by visually displaying the topic for them. So plays and skits are helpful for educating and engaging individuals, as you mentioned the goals earlier. If you're in a high school or college, you can definitely connect with your drama club or drama society or whatever you have there. And they can definitely figure something out, because skits and plays are very emotional, and that definitely connects to people when they're actually visually seeing these issues being presented to them. And I think that will have more people asking questions, and it'll have more people, you know, signing your petitions and writing letters with you, and hopefully there'll be more membership in your amnesty groups. Any questions so far? All right.
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I just think that's a really wonderful idea, you know, to even have, you know, say poetry readings or a poetry slam or excerpts from, you know, certain literature that would back that up. You did have a dramatic group that you knew or local people who were good readers who would help you out that way. That's a really wonderful idea. Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
This is Caitlin.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I'll ask you after.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say you have been doing such incredible work. I'm so impressed. I was wondering how you coordinated with your school, because you're making it really like an all-day event, so how you went about doing that.
Right. So I'm from Boston, so we're very like a liberal city and stuff, so our school is very much into having days on certain social justice issues. So we've never actually had an International Women's like Day at our school. And I think the best way to actually coordinate with your school is to make sure that they're interested in something. One of the bigger issues is, like, if you're at a school or in a part of a community where people don't know what's going on, you have to actually tackle the community first. And in my school, people know about these issues. So it's much easier for me to actually connect with them and actually have this day. So definitely talk to your advisor if you're in college or you're in high school. Local groups, like, definitely talk to like group members and what they're interested in. I didn't just pick any random like topics that I want to discuss on this day. I asked my group members, you know, what is something you think would benefit not only you guys but the school and have people actually interested in the event. So people are like, we want to talk about feminism and what it means to be a feminist, which isn't exactly in the toolkits, but like it's a part of like what it means to be a feminist, because if you're following My Body, My Rights, or you're trying to be a part of International Women's Day, there's always a stigma of, like, what is a feminist? And, like, this is such a, you know, crazy thing to do or something. And there are a lot of people who think about this kind of stuff. So definitely have discussions about what people are interested in. There's also a discussion on abortion going on in our area, so that's something we want to include in our day. Definitely want amnesty to be a part of this. So we're going to have, like, Burkina Faso presentations, and we're going to have Sri Lanka.
Did we lose you, Naval?
I think we might have.
I can pick up a little bit until Naval joins us. This is Cynthia.
Oh, hi. Sorry.
Oh, okay, Naval.
Oh, sorry. I think I got, like, taken out of the conference by accident. But, yeah, I just wanted to say, like, just connect with your student group or, like, your members and see, like, what best fits with them. And make sure the amnesty is a part of this. So definitely connect with the country specialist. So we're having the Sri Lankan country specialist talk about arrest. So things like that, like make sure you can talk to your administration and make sure that it's appropriate enough for them to include this day. And, you know, you might have to miss class, but, you know, you just got to work it out. And I think Cynthia wanted to say something also.
No, I was just going to add a couple of things after you, Nawal, so I'll let you you go on.
Oh, okay. Does that answer your question about, like, how we can plan International Women's Day?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm really glad that your school was involved and interested. So that's wonderful. Success story. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Actually, I probably wouldn't have Cynthia talk about this because she mentioned that art activism is something really big that goes on. So she mentioned, like, back in Vermont, like, a few months ago, there was a big art exhibit on human rights issues. So she could probably talk about that right now. Is Cynthia on here?
Sorry, just unmuted. So this is Cynthia, senior organizer in the Northeast. So a couple of things that we have done with our local group community in Boston and various parts of New England is we've actually worked with art associations because oftentimes there have been gallery spaces that will open their doors to Amnesty and allow us to host what we call a salon, which is sort of like a social gathering of people where we may have wine and cheese or what have you, and the idea is we're surrounded by art and inspired conversations. And we've actually had, brought in the conversation to focus on women's rights. Last year we did an event where we focused on the situation of honor killings in Pakistan. And we selected the issue because it was something that Amnesty has dabbled in and occasionally has actions on, which I actually saw one today. But it also, we had a woman in the area who this was her specialty. So we kind of looked locally to where we could have speakers, to help with offsetting any kind of cost that may come. But we found that art galleries have been very receptive to opening their doors to Amnesty with the idea of having, inspired conversation and action that we take. And so you can tailor any of the actions that were spoken about today or any of the issues that were spoken about on this evening's call and plug it into making it more of a public outreach event in your community. We've also had successes working with, and Nawal referred to this, but public libraries have been very receptive to allowing space in their windows or at the front desk for a petition. Bookshops have been super receptive to this as well. And again, it just goes to what are we trying to do? What kind of impact are we trying to have? We're just trying to make people aware that today is International Women's Day, or March has also been recognized as International Women's Month, and trying to highlight that and just generate more people to take action that may be beyond our own local group participants. I'll stop there and just see if there are any questions or comments, or maybe other people on this call have had success with some past International Women's Day events and they'd like to share this.
Anyone with a question? Okay. Well, I think we can. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, this is the wall, sorry.
Okay, I thought maybe you might have something there.
One thing, just to make sure that if your group has a Facebook page that I know this sounds, it's very basic, but it does really reach an audience, but make sure that there is posting in or around International Women's Day. You could be provided with the link that will go directly to the online action or, engage them in what's going on in your own community. If you're on Twitter, the same, idea applies. It's just how can you use your social media handle to promote International Women's Day, as well as promoting the work of your group and highlighting what you're doing in your community. Another action that's really doable, and we find that papers are very receptive to this, especially around International Women's Day, is sending a letter to the editor, just sort of acknowledging, you know, March 8th is International Women's Day. And Alice, I really thank you for providing us with that history of International Women's Day. I learned a lot, and I think that that's something that, you know, others could really benefit from learning, and that's something that could easily be drafted up and submitted in your local paper as an op-ed piece. And again, the impact of this is educating people and also directing them to action. And it also highlights the presence that you all have in your communities when it comes to human rights activism.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. I think those are really great and useful ideas and very practical, and something that any student or local group can take advantage of. Are there any final comments from anyone? Any questions for any of the people who have spoken today? Okay. Well,
Can I make one final comment?
Yes,
this is
please.
Caitlin.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate that, you know, myself and Alice and Christina, and I know Cynthia as well, are really open to providing any sort of guidance, or even if it's just a brainstorming session on how to plan an event, what this event could look like. Again, happy to send materials, and really appreciate all the work that you're doing all the time. So thank you so much for joining this call.
Okay. Before we close, I do want to make two mentions here. Just to let you know that we will be holding a webinar this Saturday, February 27th. The subject will be Deadly Force, Legislative Updates and the Path Forward. You should be receiving an email shortly in that regard. Also, for those of you who are planning to attend the AGM, and I hope most of you are, I just wanted to let you know that early bird registration closes this coming Monday, so get your registration in if you haven't done that already. Okay, so let me just take this opportunity to thank our really wonderful speakers. Thank you so much for bringing your expertise to the table today. Alice Dalla and Christina Harris from our Women's Co-Group, Caitlin Densler in our Women's Program, and Nawal Wasif, who is our wonderful Student Activist Coordinator from Massachusetts, and Cynthia Gabriel, Senior Field Organizer in the Northeast. I really appreciate all of your input and support, and for sharing all your ideas with our members and member activists and member leaders today. So thank you very much for your time, and I want to thank all of you for calling and participating, and please look forward to future emails about the next monthly membership call. And if you have any ideas, you can always contact me. Check the email that you received, egur@aiusa.org. If you have any ideas for future calls, please let me know, and we can work something out. Yes?
And before you hang up,
yes.
You said something kind of as an aside, that there is a webinar on the 27th, which is
right.
Like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What campaign is that associated with? I can guess, but it'd be nice to know what specifically. And was this announced somewhere else? Because 3 days is not a big notice, or is it? Just
yeah, I'm just sort of reminding.
We
do send out emails for that, but I know there is another notification going out very shortly.
Yeah. I'll send you an email, because the subject of who gets what emails when is sometimes some people get them and some don't, and wonder.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Terry.
Thank you for organizing this. Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, everyone. Okay.
Thanks,
bye.
Everybody, for your participation. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good
night.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference will now end.